On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
Swung on, hit high in the air. It's deep right field. Going back, Abreu to the track, nearing the short wall. He's out of room. It's gone. And Kyle Schwarber has homered again. The fifth day in a row that Kyle Schwarber has gone deep. This one into the Phillies bullpen. It's 1-0 here at Fenway.
What a way to start it last night. Another home run from Kyle Schwarber. 17 on the season as we sit here on May 13th. Schwarber is on a heater. We'll get to more about him in a second, Hugh, but the win last night, it's a good win. Schwarber starts it off with the home run.
Yeah,
Stott drives in a second run, but Zach Wheeler, Hugh, looking, I mean, again, it's not, we're not quite there, but the fact that I don't think he's yet perfectly back, and yet 7 1/3 last night, one run in Fenway Park, and now is a 2.55 ERA, and I think they've won every single one of his starts since he's come back. I mean, Hugh, the Wheeler thing, he's come back better than I thought he would his first, you know, handful of starts.
I mean, he was realistic about where he was, and he was just hoping for the best.
Yep.
He didn't put that much pressure on himself. And you can kind of tell that's he's just kind of let it go the way that it's going, and it's working out really well for him right now. You know, the thing that sticks out to me when you talk about this team is the resilience that they show. Like that 2-1 game last night, normally, especially this season, games that tight where they don't have a whole lot of runs or tacking on a whole lot of runs, you don't feel good about them winning. You really don't. They feel different. All the way around, they just feel like they're more galvanized right now.
Well, they're playing a better brand of baseball. I mean, their defense has been overall, I would say, better with Don Mattingly. They're winning close games. They're now only 2 games under 500. I mean, if they have a good couple days here in Fenway Park, they could leave Boston and go to Pittsburgh with a 500 record, which would have seemed impossible when they were 9-19 when they fired Topper. So the Phillies win again last night. Excellent start by Zach Wheeler. Let's hear Bryson Stott after the game talking about the Wheeler he sees right now as the Phillies win again.
He looked like Zach Wheeler. I think I looked up there at one point and he was at 48 pitches, and I didn't know what inning it was. I mean, he attacks guys and goes right at them, and that's a good team over there, and they can hit, and they're aggressive, and he went right at them.
Efficient. That's what it was. When you talk about what he was last night, because they were talking about it, it was like in the fourth inning and he didn't throw something like 30-some pitches or something crazy.
So I think the first 3 innings, he was only at 16 pitches. And the stat I saw, Hugh, is that they can't find a pitcher that has gotten through the first 3 innings on that few pitches in the last the century, since 2000. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, a couple double plays obviously helping there, but 16 pitches in 3 innings? That I don't know if you can be any more efficient.
Yeah, man. And like I said, they just look different. This team just looks different. You know, the errors in the outfield and things of that nature don't seem like they're as abundant as they once were early on in the season. So, yeah, they just look different.
All right, so you said the word different there. One guy that doesn't look different. In fact, he looks the same, if not even better. And it's just continuing what we've seen for years and years and years. And Hewitt is starting to pile up to the point where I almost don't think we realize what we're watching here. So Kyle Schwarber last night hit his 17th home run. He is on pace for 65 home runs. Like, we're getting to the point where if this continues for a little while longer, we're going to talk about history or chasing history. On pace for 65 home runs. After last year, hitting 56 home runs. After the year before that, 38. Before that, 47. Before that, 46. He's been here 5 years. He led the league in home runs twice in his first four. He's leading the home league again in home runs right now. And now, last night, he tied Dick Allen, all-time Phillies home run list. He's going to be here for another 4.5 years. And you start looking at the numbers, and they're starting to get to the point where you can't ignore what he's doing from a home run standpoint. By the end of the season, he'll probably be somewhere in the top 6 or so Phillies home runs ever. By the end of next season, he will be third, only behind Mike Schmidt and Ryan Howard. Of course, those guys played here their whole careers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the point now, Hugh, when I watch him and the damage he's doing and the home runs he's hitting in a very short period, I think we're watching the best home run hitter in Phillies history. I think he's the best home run hitter to ever wear a Phillies uniform. If you look at bat per home run ratio in the history of baseball, he's top 5 ever. Like, anyone. We're talking about McGuire, Judge, Bonds, like Ruth, and Schwarber. And then you look at home runs to at-bat ratio in the history of the Phillies. He's not just one. He's won by a lot over Jim Thome, who's two. And then you go to Schmidt and you go to Howard. Hugh, I know he didn't play his whole career here. He never will, right? So he won't hit all of his home runs here. So he'll never catch Schmidt on the home run list for the Phillies. But just in terms of home run hitter to wear the uniform, Hugh, I think he's the best home run hitter ever played for the Phillies.
And I tell you what, the contribution is phenomenal. And then I'm just thinking about the road that he took to get to the MLB. Didn't he get cut a couple times?
Well, so he was a high pick, had a great start, but then he
fell off a little bit.
And he was DFA'd, non-tendered by the Cubs. They just let him go.
And to have the type of career that he's having right now, to make the money that he's making, and just be this steady force in this lineup. I mean, you look up the one he hit yesterday, you look up and you're like, damn. He's still leading Major League Baseball with the home runs, right?
Yeah. He's one ahead of Judge,
He's just clutch. He's clutch. And you know, when you talk about giving somebody the type of money that you gave him for the time he's to be here, you don't feel too bad about that because he's obviously picking up where he left off at.
Well, and then, you know, we talked about this before when it came to Harper. Like, you know, part of Harper's contract is we'll get to watch him
and
chase.
And he just is quiet and just goes about his business.
Does. Well, you know, with Harper, when they signed him to that long deal, it was like, well, we'll watch him chase milestones at the end, right? Probably 500 home runs. We're going to have that with Kyle Schwarber, too. And Schwarber looks like more of a lock to get there. I mean, he's hitting home runs at a pace that very few guys have ever hit. And I remember when I watched Ryan Howard, I was like, well, we'll probably never see a home run hitter here like that again. We have. He's right here. His name is Kyle Schwarber. Is it crazy to say he's the best home run hitter ever to play for the Phillies? I don't think it is.
It feels a little hyperbolic.
I don't think it is.
I mean, it feels a little hyperbolic because when you talk about it, you're talking about the guys that were actually here. Like, and He's a Philly,
well,
but he wasn't.
Well, that's
a
what I mean.
But hold on. He's about to be under contract that makes him essentially a lifer Philly.
I'm just saying, when you talk about in the history of the organization, the guys that were here, it feels a little hyperbolic. But
I think it feels maybe it's like unsettling to think about that we're here right now
already.
Because you wouldn't think that a guy like Kyle Schwarber, when we signed him, could be put up there like his name belong with the Mike Schmidt or the Ryan Howard, but he is. So I don't think it's hyperbolic at all to put him there.
So before Schwarber, the guy that had the most prolific like at-bat to home run ratio for the Phillies was Thome. But Thome was only here for a few years. It's like that doesn't count, right? It's not enough.
No.
Kyle, to your point, he's going to be here 9 years.
If Schwarber were to go into the Hall of Fame, I would think his bust is Phillies.
Yeah.
I think so too. I mean, this is where he's doing his damage. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you said he was going to Cincinnati.
He did.
I did say that.
Yeah, you did.
I thought he was going home.
Yeah, you took
it. They took his. They showed all that love to
and
his
you
pops.
And you were wrong.
Okay,
and
I was wrong for that.
Okay,
one. But I ain't
and I was right.
For it,
no, I'm not asking for an apology. I just wanted to put that out there.
Do I have to grab this belt?
I'm vibrating on a higher. I'm just vibrating on a higher.
Y'all who got the belt?
No one's worried about you in the belt.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Do I got to remind y'all who got the belt?
Yeah, we're not really worried about that. I'm vibrating on
you know what? If you need to take the belt out to make yourself feel better, you do that.
I don't feel like I'm just saying. Do I need to grab the belt?
If you need to grab the belt, that's fine. All I know is I'm watching, and we all are, the best home run hitter in Phillies history.
I think y'all forgot who got this thing.
No, we didn't forget.
Oh, no, we're very much aware of it. We just don't care.
Hold up.
I'm happy for you, man.
The difference is we don't give a crap.
What y'all doing?
You know what? You know what I realized? This is why you won't get the belt again.
What you talking about?
You're resting on your laurels. Instead of building to the next belt championship.
No, saying,
you know what's funny?
You're hanging on that.
I got a couple days.
You know what's funny?
You know what
yeah, once somebody takes that from me, I'm going to be like, Hugh, where's the belt? I'm like, where is it?
If they get
Oh, someone,
it.
Do you have the belt?
If
you don't have it anymore. Oh, weird.
I got it this week.
All right, belt guy. On the record, is Schwarber the best home run hitter in Phillies history? I say yes.
Nah.
Who is?
My frat brother.
Howard.
Ryan Howard. Yeah.
This is more prolific. It's more prolific.
No, I mean, it's very impressive, especially when you talk about, you know what it is about Schwarber, because he's flying under the radar. When you talk about all the other big name stars that are on this team, Bryce Harper and, you know, Trey Turner and guys like that.
Yeah.
He just goes to work every day. He's the one guy that when you look at when I'm making my parlets, when I'm parletting some stuff, he's the one guy that I can almost guarantee that's going to hit me a home run. I just got to get the other cats that I kind of put in these you know, parlets to do their job. But he's money. He's money.
He's incredible. So, look, Ryan Howard was an incredible power hitter. I mean, and at the best at his peak in the game. But that peak was the 4 years, right? And then he fell.
Yeah.
He had two more 30
but
home run
part
seasons.
Part of that was because they brought him up too late because Thome was here. They could have brought him up.
Well, but to be fair, I mean.
Yeah, Thome was doing his thing.
No. Maybe Schwarber didn't get here till the middle of his career, right? So it's kind of similar.
I hear you. I mean, I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're totally accurate. If Ryan had gotten three more years when he was younger to tack on home runs, Hugh,
he would have been a different.
No, you're right. They delayed it, but again, Schwarber started somewhere else. The bottom line is this.
He's going to hit 500 in a Phillies uniform.
He is. So Howard had 58, 47, 48, 45. 198 home runs over 4 years. We said we'd never see this again. Well, the first 4 years that Schwarber was here, he hit 187, quite close. And then, so now we're in that fifth year. By the fifth year, right, the Howard 2010 season, he had fallen to 31, then 33, and he never got to 30 again because he just the injuries zapped his career.
Yeah, and he was an everyday player, too, though. The Howard thing.
But that's what does that do with hitting home runs?
No, I'm just saying he was an everyday player. You know, it's a little different when you're playing every day.
This is the Nick Foles, the third
home run. No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, but he played every day, so that probably took away
I get where you're going. So you think it's a little less impressive for DH?
I think when you're the DH, that's all you're doing. I mean, you ain't got no other priorities, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
You sensing what I'm sensing a little bit?
What are you sensing?
I don't think you respect Kyle Schwarber.
And this is a week after saying he could be a DH in baseball.
That you said. I just think it carries more weight when you're out there every day.
Okay, but I didn't know. You notice I didn't say better player. I said better home run hitter.
You know, I hear you, but I feel like it carries more weight when you're out there every day.
Why?
That's I don't defense. Think so.
Because you got there. You got to play.
Right, but we're just talking about their ability to hit home runs.
All right, then why still go with Ryan?
Okay.
Still go with Ryan.
I mean, Schwarber hits home runs at a quicker pace. Schwarber's probably going to hit more home runs he's going to surpass him in career home runs really quickly here. If you go to Howard, by year five of the run, he had fallen to 33 home runs. Schwarber has 17 in May. Does anyone think Schwarber's only going to have 33 home runs this year?
He's probably going to be up at 50 or 60.
Right. Oh, well, okay. Last thing on this, because then we'll go back to the phone lines on Maury. And I'm curious if where you come down on the Schwarber thing. Is he the best home run hitter in Phillies history? That's what I think we're watching. Hugh, I thought about this last night when I hit the home run, and he's on pace for 65. It's not out of the question we get a race for history. Like, do you think it's crazy that he could push to chase down Bonds?
You mean Babe Ruth?
No, Bonds.
No.
Are you one of those?
I'm just saying. I just wanted to see the room I was in.
Are you one of those anti like the 90s or 2000s didn't happen?
No.
Bonds has the record with 73.
Wow.
No, I just remember,
you know what happened.
I just remember. Listen, I remember meeting Hank Aaron, and he had some strong. Rest in peace. And he had some strong thoughts about the whole thing. That's all.
Well, Barry took down his overall record, too. Yeah.
And it was just like, I was just thinking about that. But yeah, I think there's a possibility he could do that because we were talking about that a few years ago. If you know, he's going to be for what, 8 years?
Yeah.
And if he stays at this pace and if he falls off, say if he has 60 this year.
No, I don't mean the overall record. I mean the season record. 73 home runs.
Oh, 73?
Like, if he's on pace.
I thought you meant the home run record.
No, I think he's too old to get to 763 home runs. But I just mean 73 home runs. He's on pace for 65. I don't think it's crazy to think that he could make a run at 65 or 70 home runs. Could you imagine if we had Kyle Schwarber chasing down Barry Bonds' home run record this summer? It'd be incredible.
That would be something.
It'd be a wild.
That would definitely be something. They would definitely be checking him if he on that deer antler.
Of course they would.
Like the closer he got to that, they would definitely check to
see
if he's
would.
On the deer
antler. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on the Schwarber thing? Is he the greatest home run hitter in Phillies history? I think we're watching history and almost not realizing it. Like this guy is hitting home runs at a pace no one has ever hit in this uniform for 5 years now. It is remarkable. Your take on that? And Daryl Morey out as Sixers executive. Is the glass half full, half empty for the franchise? Your reaction to the entire Morey thing? Elliot's going to join us coming up at 12 o'clock today. Let's go to Andy in Westchester. Hey, Andy.
Andy.
Good morning, gentlemen. Morons unite.
Morons unite. What's up, Andy?
Not too much. I'm just thinking about what you're talking about with Schwarber. I'd be happy if he just got to 62. I mean, I discount the steroid record.
Oh, you're like Hugh? You're like, it never happened?
I mean, I didn't say it didn't happen. I just said, I gave you the background of it when I was talking to Henry Aaron. Rest in peace. He wasn't too happy about that. That's all.
Well, Henry and many baseball fans weren't happy.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I respect the OG.
I like how you call him Henry instead of Hank. Like,
well, what's he going to do now?
Well, nothing.
He ain't going to do nothing now.
Go ahead, Andy.
All right. Weird.
I'm not saying it didn't happen. I would have more respect for Schwarber's record if he made the 62.
Sure. No, I get
it. I think he would be pretty proud of that.
Yeah. No, look, just the fact that if we had one of those summers where he was actually doing something like that, it would be must-see TV every time he got to the plate.
Yeah, which I kind of feel like it already is. But you're right, late in the season would be ridiculous. So, anyway, Sixers, I am very glad. I do see the glasses half full because I think Harris put himself in a position now where he needs to really turn this around more quickly than, you know, is probably possible because he's got that new stadium coming and he cannot lose the fans.
Well, he can't. I mean, they have to get – they're already at a point, Andy. You could feel it, I think, with the takeover of the Knicks fans. You could feel with the apathy that people just have and the annoyance they have with the franchise. They're at a point where if they don't figure this out in the next couple of years, they're going to fall clearly to fourth. Like, there is a world where if they don't figure it out, Andy, they become what the Flyers had become for about 10 years until the last few months, right? Like, where it's Eagles, Phillies – and then that we're looking for the winter team to catch our attention. And if the Flyers are good for the next 5 years,
yeah, we're gonna go there.
And the Sixers stink, they will fall to last place. It will happen.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that you have to put something on the court that people want to come see if you're going to open a new stadium, because you got to fill those seats and pay for it. If you think about, you were just talking about Tomey, that's what the Phillies did when they were getting ready to build Citizens Bank Park. They got him in there to get butts and seats, so that when they opened the park, it was going to be full. And I think he's putting himself in a really bad position if he doesn't turn this around quickly. So he's got to get the right person in there.
Well, he does. And the other part is, and it's got to be, like you said there, and Andy, good phone call. It's got to be the right person. I mean, the objective can't just be to turn it fully around quickly, because then you can make a short-sighted decision.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing. I think you can do that with this team. You got to marry the excitement with the attitude that you're trying to get better every year. And that, to me, is with young guys. You know, I think that just me thinking about it off the top of my head, you have a nice young core with Joel Embiid a part of that. Joel Embiid is going to be a part of it. So, I mean, Joe, I know you don't want to hear it, and a lot of people don't.
I think they have to just go about it as if he doesn't exist build the team.
Well, no. Yeah. No. You have to figure out how to play him in a way where, you know, you give him his minutes, but his minutes are going to be cut. Like, right. he's not, my team is not going to be built around Joel Embiid.
We're going to do, in a few minutes, give some names, some ideas of who could be the next executive that Bob Myers hires here. When they come in for the interviews, I want that person to not make Joel Embiid a big part of his plan. He's not. Like, sure, he's here, but I need you to tell me how you're going to build a team where he is a minimal part of it.
That's what I'm talking about.
So I'm with you
exactly,
on that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And Joel Embiid might not like that. But I would probably sell it to him as, you know, hey, big fella, you know, there are going to be nights. It might be nights if you don't play two or three times a night, you know, just to keep you healthy, try to get you healthy as we possibly can and get you ready for the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it's not going to work.
Well, I mean
he played 38 games this year and he still couldn't get to the playoffs.
We got to try something. No, we got to try something.
I know. I mean,
and build with the younger guy. I think that's where it starts. You're going to have to get another big man. I mean, that's where I think it starts. And you're going to have to vet. What are you picking, 22nd?
Yeah.
Well, you better do your homework. That's why whoever we hire, I feel like needs to be hired in the next couple of weeks, because you want to, in my opinion, you want to try to get your scouting department together,
yeah,
and get the film ready so you can figure out how you actually want to go about this offseason. You're going to probably have to go out and I think Oubre's contract is up, right?
It is, yeah.
Got to figure out what you want to do with him. I would keep him. I think he's been a really good, solid player.
Yeah, he has been solid. Yeah.
I think he's been pretty solid. And just figure out some of the fringe moves you can make to make this bench better. Because that was another thing. Just watching it, the bench was not as strong as it needed to be. So, yeah, try to figure out how you can make those peripheral moves to try to make the team better, which is you're not going to be able to do a whole lot, Joe.
Well, not overnight.
Yeah.
But I also would be interested. Does anyone have an idea to dump George or Embiid? Like, I go through the interview process. What's your plan? Like, do you think you can get rid of one of them so we can move this thing forward quicker? I mean, we may not have the answer, but that's their job to have the answer. The other thing is, you know, Hugh, we're talking about big men, 22nd pick. It's not a pick where you usually get star players. I mean, once in a while, but it's not. Player development, right? Like, can you take a player and then within 2 years he becomes something? That, you know, when someone brought up earlier the Thunder front office, Rosman, who's out there in, used to be here in the front office, now is with the Thunder. That's what the Thunder do, right? Most of those kids they've drafted have not been very high picks. They haven't been top. I mean, other than Chet Holmgren, they're not top five picks running around out there. What they are is late lottery picks, mid lottery picks, late first round picks, second round picks.
They believe them.
And they develop and they get them way better than you think. So, you know, if they're going to get out of this quicker than we hope, they're probably going to have to find a gem where they draft someone at 22 or in the second round, and then 2 years from now, we're like, whoa, they got that player there? They need that. They really do. Julio's in Wilmington. What's up, Julio?
They were out.
Julio?
Oh, sorry.
You're good, man. Guys. What's up?
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, sorry. I just walked into Miles. Real quick, I think that Kyle Schwarber was definitely the best home run hitter. He's kind of a spectacle. It gives me like Babe Ruth vibes. So I definitely agree with that.
You know, Julio, the crazy part is you say that and it's like, whoa, Babe Ruth. But you look up at the numbers. I mean, like the best five home run hitters in terms of how often they hit home runs, he's right there with Babe Ruth. Like it's him and Ruth and McGuire and Bonds. He's right there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking back to the last season when he did the home run thing, and like the whole stadium was just rocking when he was hitting those bombs.
Yep,
for sure.
Yeah, the 4-1 game. I mean, he's getting to a point where it's like we're watching something historic here. Julio, what are you thinking on the Sixers?
Yeah, so honestly, I like the move, but I don't think that this is going to be too much of a difference unless we get rid of Embiid, unfortunately. I know Embiid is a generational talent, but the best ability is availability. And Hugh, I know you know that because, you know, you played at the highest level for the Eagles. So how much can you rely on him if he's not there? And, you know, it's already been a long time so far. So, I like the move. I support it, but it's not really going to change unless you get rid of him, unfortunately. You know, that's pretty much my family.
I mean, to be honest, I don't think there's going to be a way to get rid of Joel Embiid like that. So you have to figure out, not next year anyway, so you got to figure out life with him and how can you make that work.
There's probably not a way. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's very unlikely they could trade Embiid. But a year from now, they could stretch him and move him out of here. I mean, if it's a matter of just getting him off the team, that could be a year from right now. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, ton to react to here. Maury out as Sixers executive. Where are you on the move? The idea of getting him out of here, do you feel better today? Glass half full, glass half empty on the Sixers outlook moving forward. This is the best I've felt in a while because they're finally getting someone out that was actively making it worse. And the Phillies, another win, now only 2 games under .500. And I think Kyle Schwarber's moved to the point where I'm comfortable calling him the greatest power hitter, the greatest home run hitter in Phillies history. The numbers are overwhelming. He's on pace for 65 home runs. I never thought we'd see someone hit home runs at a more prolific rate than Ryan Howard did. We're literally watching it right now with Kyle Schwarber. I think he's the best home run hitter to ever wear the Phillies uniform. Your reaction to that? Agree, disagree? Lots to get into. Plus, some names we could see as a replacement from Daryl Morey. Hugh's been working in his notebook for the better part of 45 minutes.
His red notebook.
So I'm excited to see what he's come up with. That's next. Your calls. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
You like this one, Hugh?
Nah.
No?
Is this Paul McCartney?
Beatles.
Yeah. Well, the Beatles. Is it the Beatles or Paul McCartney?
Beatles.
Okay.
Well,
Beatles.
Paul McCartney's singing.
Yeah.
But it's the Beatles.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of nailed it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Nah, it's too melancholy.
Hold on. Only played it because it says Wednesday morning in the beginning.
No, I get that. It's too melancholy, though.
It's for Daryl's.
Yeah.
She's leaving home.
It's not one I listen to often.
All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas.
Daryl's leaving home.
Yeah, Daryl's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Here.
He's gone on Wednesday morning.
Ain't
he's
home
gone.
No more. You got to pack that thing up and leave. Ooh,
yeah.
I wonder where he stay. I'm still looking for a home. Probably too big.
I was going to say, I don't. I listen.
In a balling ass.
I have no idea what kind of place the guy lived in. I don't think you want to move into that. That feels a little out of your price range.
Yeah, it's a little pricey.
Ballerific, he said.
Ballerific, Phillips. Ballerific. Probably live in a balling ass spot in Jersey. You think you live in Jersey or Philly? Probably.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't live in Jersey.
I have no idea.
Ballerific sounds.
Yeah. Add that to the mix here.
You got the nuts in your hand. That's crazy.
You walk into these all the time. All right, back to your phone calls, 215-592-9494. In just a minute, Elliot's going to join us at noon today. Your take on the Morey thing, the situation the Sixers are in now. I think it's a good day for the Sixers, and I'm feeling more optimistic. The glass is more half full that Morey's out of here and can't make things worse. And I believe now, and I've wondered this and kind of in the back of my head for a while, that Schwarber's become the best home run hitter to ever wear a Phillies uniform. We're watching something that is so prolific, I almost think we're downplaying it. He's on pace for 65 home runs. He just hit his sixth home run in five games.
That's pretty dope.
As great as Howard was, I think this is a better home run stretch than even Howard had. And obviously Schmidt is the best, or the best player in Phillies history by a mile. But to me, his was more about longevity and home run excellence, but not so much this kind of peak. I mean, 56 last year, maybe 60 plus this year. This is nuts. All right, your phone calls and all that. But Hugh, we did promise everyone we would have a list of names for the Sixers to potentially go after, as, you know, for Bob Myers. Maybe Bob Myers is driving around right now. He's like, oh, what are they talking about? So why don't you help him out, Hugh? Why don't you tell everyone what that notebook says, potential replacements for Daryl Morey?
Well, I did a quick search and just thinking about some of the GMs and some of the names that have been mentioned over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of names a few names that came up that are already on teams, but and they're teams that are in the playoffs. But I'm like, hey, I'm okay with poaching somebody.
Sure.
But you have to. But here's the problem. The names that I'm looking at is you're going to have to offer them a lot to probably get them to leave.
Well, Josh Harris has plenty of money.
The first guy on this list is Minnesota Timberwolves, Matt Lloyd. He's been highly regarded over the last couple of years as the GM, and his name often comes up when jobs like this come open. So that's one of the first names that was vetted when I did my search. Second name is Dennis Lindsay. You know, Dennis is from Detroit uh-huh. Pistons, and you look and see what they've done with Tobias Harris, yep, and where they are right now. So that's a guy. You know, as of course, Chris mentioned the guy, Vince Rosman's name. He's already here, his internal hire. And there's another name that was thrown out there. He's an agent. His name is Austin Brown. He's an agent, and he's trying to get in that side. I don't know how comfortable I would be with somebody who's an agent trying to, you know, cut his teeth in here, but the hunger factor is kind of high.
Before you go on, I think the agent thing is interesting, considering Bob Myers was an agent who became an executive of the Warriors. I mean, I don't, when Bob Myers is doing the interview process, I don't know what he's looking for, but Hugh, someone that was an agent
might be appealing and know how to work these contracts and everything.
That's how he became what he became.
Yeah. I mean, but you're also marrying it. This fan base is fatigued, you know. I mean, it's obvious. And, you know, we talk about this weekend and, you know, financial decisions that were made. This fan base is fatigued. And I think that you need to try to figure out a way. You need somebody innovative enough that's going to get them excited about whatever you decide to do and be excited about the fact that Joel Embiid is still going to be here.
Yeah.
He's going to be here. Mm. And I think that you need to be creative in the way that you market that to your fan base moving forward. This is not the process. So I don't know if you want to go with a new mantra moving forward, or what do you want to call it? It starts today, or, you know, the
it
future's
starts
now.
With whatever's in Hugh's notebook.
Yeah. You know, the future's bright or whatever, but you're going to have to figure out a way to get this fan base excited about this upcoming season. I think the way you do that, it has to be something with VJ and Maxi.
Yeah, I actually think that we should one day come up with slogans for the Sixers to help them get people excited for next year. We're sorry. We'll try not to screw up again. Does that work?
Hey, that one, it's simple, but it's effective.
Yeah, but it's a little dull. We'll try not to screw up again. Is anyone buying tickets for that?
We're sorry. Please come back. Baby, come back.
Baby, come back. That actually hits a little bit
baby,
more.
Baby, come back.
I like your list of names, by the way.
No, but I'm saying.
Pretty comprehensive
and then
from Hugh Douglas.
You know, and obviously Jameer Nelson. You know, he's an assistant GM. I think he was on the international, like, basketball, whatever. And he's already a part of the organization. So that's another thing. And Elton Brand. Elton Brand's already here. I don't know if people – and see, the thing about Elton Brand being here, he's a household name. But I don't know if people feel or would be excited about somebody who was a part of the old regime.
Well, and he's been here for so long.
Yeah, they might feel like he might be a part of the problem.
How long has Elton lasted three regimes now? I think he's lasted – well, it's at least two.
It's a lot of survival for Elton Brand.
It is. It's a lot.
It's too much.
I always liked Elton as a player, and I think he's. it wouldn't be inspiring if
let's
they just
get Billy King. Let's see what Billy King doing.
Bring Billy back.
Billy probably. Listen, Billy, throw your hat in the ring, man. Go ahead.
I wouldn't mind bringing Billy back. All right, so I had three names on my list. Hugh, you hit one of them, Vince Rosman from the Thunder. He's to me, he checks a lot of boxes. He used to be here, so he understands how it works here. He's gone to the Thunder. He's in player development, and look how they develop players. I found this from a couple years ago where Vince Sam Hinkie gave him a seal of approval. I guess Sam knew him from back in the day, and Sam loved him and said he's great with people, great evaluating talent. He seems like a future general manager in the NBA, so that's a name to keep in mind. The other two, Hugh, are big names, and I don't think either are likely, but they're on my list.
What you got?
Well, the first one is just Bob Myers do the job.
Don't feel like Bob Myers wants to do the job.
Do you think Bob...
I was about to say Dombrowski. But the manager for the Phillies now feels like that.
Mattingly.
Don Mattingly. Feel like a Don Mattingly.
But Mattingly did do the job.
Yeah, but he didn't want to at first. He reluctantly did the job.
So let me ask you this. If you're Josh... I'm going to put a hypothetical for you. Josh Harris lets Bob Myers go lead the search. Bob, go help me find my next...
Help me find the next guy.
At the end, Bob Myers says, here are the three best. Josh, why don't you interview them now and take it home? If I'm Josh Harris, you know what I would say to Bob Myers? Are any of them better than you?
I mean, that's the way to pin him down.
I just want his answer. And if he says, yes, they're all right now, better than I am right now, go. But if I see pause in his eye, then you know what I would say? Bob, well, are you sure you don't want to do this? Because I'd love Bob Myers
to
do this. But
you got to, how long has Bob Myers been out the game, Joe?
3 years.
Okay, 3 years is a long time. I know it doesn't feel like it for most people, but that's a long time when you talk about the innovative styles and everything that's coming out as far as basketball is concerned now. And it looks like it's more a shift from the big three to more of the old school way of playing basketball.
It is, yeah.
You know what I mean? More deep benches and having multiple guys that are contributors and things of that nature instead of the big three. So to me, I feel like you need to get somebody that's going to help build this team the right way. The biggest thing that sticks out to me in the series that we just was in is how deep the Knicks bench was.
Absolutely.
You know, and how many contributors that they had on their squad. And when you look at that contrasting to what we had, I remember seeing guys in street clothes a lot that were supposed to be contributors, where they were contributors last year in last year's playoff run, but they had on street clothes in this playoff run. So you need to find some young guys that fit the cap ramifications that you have that's going to help your team get better, but also understand that this is an ongoing process because you're not there yet.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to fix everything in one offseason.
So I wrote down Rosman. I wrote down Bob Myers. The last name, and it's already being reported, Jake Fisher reporting that he's not going to be a candidate. I guess he doesn't want to jump to this part of basketball. But the name I love, the idea I love, obviously has a great relationship with Bob Myers. He played for him, knows this city as well as anybody. And I always thought he was really bright. And I actually thought he was one of the most underrated players we've had here in 25 years. And he's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. And I used to say that and people would yell at me. Hugh, I would love if Andre Iguodala was interested.
So he took his name out of the hat.
So Jake Fisher reported this morning, he wrote, among the already rumored names to lead the Sixers front office moving forward, I'm being told NBPA executive, he's the executive of the Player Association, director and former Warriors swingman Andre Iguodala is not a candidate for the position.
That's pretty cool for Iggy, though.
That he's even being mentioned
that
for this?
That he's being mentioned for that, man. I mean, kudos to the guys, especially the guys that have accomplished what he's accomplished, to be able to walk in that space in a short period of time or have the opportunity to do that, because that's not allotted to a whole lot of people.
It says, you know, the report is he doesn't, it's not happening. But if I was Bob Myers, I would send a text or a call.
Like are you
Andre,
sure?
You want to come in and talk?
And I think, you know what would be exciting about it? I think people would get excited is because he was here. He understands the pulse of the city. And I would be interested to see what kind of innovative ideas that he would bring to this new squad.
And he understands winning. I mean, when he left here, he became part of a dynasty. He won finals MVP. I mean, Andre Iguodala is – I want more Sixers to play like Iguodala played. I would love that. So, I mean, that's a name on my mind. It's probably not going to happen. Vince Rosman feels like the one that checks a lot of boxes. And if Bob Myers wants to do it himself, that to me is the best case scenario. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Adrian wants to get on Hugh Douglas here. Adrian! Adrian! Adrian!
Are you serious, Adrian?
Adrian!
Guy's clown. Oh, was that him? You know what? Now he's got to wait. He's got to wait a call.
You called him a clown?
Well, no, because he gets...
That was strong. Did you hear that?
Well, Adrian can be a clown at times. I mean, we haven't heard from him in a while. I was going to pop him right on, but then, you know, he's doing a million other things. Let's go to David in Westchester. What's up, David?
Hey, Joe, Hugh Douglas hates Kyle Schwarber, and that is Ohio on Ohio crime.
You felt it too, didn't you, David? It's amazing.
Is that what it is?
It's amazing.
I, I couldn't believe what he was saying, Joe. It's like, are you kidding me right now?
Are
you watching this guy play?
Cutting out his legs because he doesn't play the field.
How dare Hewitt? He can't even hit a baseball.
We know that. He can't.
He can't hit a baseball. Oh, my God.
The nerve of this guy having an opinion.
But, Hugh, it's a bad opinion.
Bad opinion. But I got the belt.
It doesn't matter. But he cares.
You know, my mom had a belt, too, and she wasn't afraid to use it. So you can throw it out there, but it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, that is true. That belt that was the ultimate equalizer back in the day.
Boy. Oh, my God. I still have nightmares about belts.
Flashbacks. Everybody having flashbacks this morning.
But all right, so let's get on to the Sixers. Once again, you guys are being totally short-sighted here. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at the whole picture. You know, why keep Nick Nurse when you're cleaning house? And the reason is, and you got to go from the top with Josh Harris. He's like that creepy little kid that your friend has that comes over and he has little boogers all over his fingers. He's putting his hands in all the cookie jars. And that's what he is. Josh Harris, just all he wants to do is keep his hands in all the cookie jars. And he just wants to make the money. And how he's going to make the money is he's going to stay in-house because he found somebody who can be the GM of this team and can also, you know, said, yeah, I'm fine with Nick Nurse, so we don't have to pay him out. So he's saving that money, and it's all boiling down to that. So Elton Brand is going to be your next GM of the Sixers. Don't go through the, you know, process of interviewing and all this crap, but it's all smoke and mirrors, and you guys are falling for the smoke and mirrors, and it's just not going to happen. This is going to be Elton Brand. It's going to be his team, and I mean, the team's already ruined. You know, you say Maury's gone, but Maury's going to be felt for the next 3-4 years. There's just no way out of all this. And you know, it's going to be a shame, but it's going to be status quo is what you're going with, because it's all about making money, and that's all they care about. They don't care about the fans unless the fans are making money, you know, giving them money, and that's all they want. So that's what you're looking at, Joe.
Probably. I mean, well, every time we watch Embiid and George play, we're going to thank Maury, right? We're going to think, well, there's the Maury contracts. We're still dragging these out for another couple years. I get your point on Nurse. They could have done that. I mean, they could have moved. I don't mind Nurse. It is a little awkward that we're doing the same thing we did 4 years ago, right? Because when Maury came in, they kept Doc Rivers. So they had so Maury had to inherit Doc Rivers, and then eventually got rid of him. It's disjointed. I'm with you on that. It's a little disjointed.
Yeah, I don't mind Nurse either, but you know, you got to let somebody, you know, come.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And as Hater Hugh would say, you got to let him cook. And if you're already saddling with the coach who doesn't play the way you want to play, then he's not going to be able to do anything. You know, it's going to be completely off kilter. So they already have somebody in mind who's probably already picked that they're going to use. And he likes Nick Nurse, so that's what you're looking
at. Might be, David. David, good phone call. It might be. Look, I'll defend them a little bit on keeping Nurse. I think it's a little bit hard to run parallel searches at the same time, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're changing a whole lot. And it feels to me like there was a lot of undermining of the coach. And that's just my personal thought about this. Because I'm going back and I'm thinking, when we talk about how at the end of the game where Coach Nurse just kind of put his head back and was like, aye, aye, aye. I feel like there was a lot of times that he probably wanted to go in one direction.
Of course.
But there were other forces that were in play that kind of, you know, undercut him a little bit.
Yeah, my guess too with Nurse, he's coached a lot of places. I mean, before his NBA career, you know, he went from assistant in Toronto to the head coach there. He coached like every little team you could imagine professionally in different countries. I mean, he's probably worked for 25 different GMs over the years. So my guess is he's pretty malleable to like, all right, whoever's picking the players, I'll just coach him.
Yeah.
That's what I would think. Now, a year from now, could the new GM get Nurse out of here for his guy? Sure. I mean,
not the first year.
Yeah,
I think it
probably keeps things a little bit, it simplifies how much change we're doing at once. Plus, what if the search takes a while? right? This could be a long search. I mean, they don't really need anyone. To me, the Bob Myers thing allows them to go through this slow build, right? They don't need someone by the draft. If Bob Myers has to pick the player at 22, like, he could do that.
Yeah.
Do you consider this an attractive destination?
I do.
Well, when he was talking about some of the guys leaving some of the best teams, I wonder that. Yeah. Like, if you work with the Timberwolves, right, and you have Anthony Edwards, if you work for the Thunder, do you want to leave there to come to the Sixers? It's almost like, you know, when people from the Eagles leave to go become GMs of other teams. It's an opportunity, but you're better off just staying next to Howie.
I guess it depends on who you are. Like, if you're somebody who likes a challenge, or if you think you can get creative. Like, this is going to take some creativity,
yep,
I think, to turn this into what we want it to be.
And it's your own.
Yeah.
It'll be yours.
Sure. I think we've had the conversation about, like, what would it take, hypothetically, to get Howie Roseman to leave the Eagles and go to a team like the Jets? Like, that would be, like, a passion project for Howie. Like, if you can turn the Jets into something. And I could see Howie being that kind of guy who would embrace that kind of challenge. So I think it's attractive to the right person, somebody who embraces that kind of challenge.
Yeah, and
get
also
creative.
Yeah, and probably also someone who's waiting for their first shot, and maybe they haven't gotten it yet, and, like, here come the Sixers calling, and you take the job. Adrian, back up here, wants to get on Hugh Douglas about something. So, Adrian, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you, man. You know, you my guy, man. I was just going to listen to y'all, enjoy, you know, just listening to y'all. Then you bring up Elton Brand. You know, Elton Brand is actually part of the problem. Since he's been here, 2016, we have been the worst organization in basketball. He came in 2016, 2017, we took Markelle Fultz. I told him when we took Markelle Fultz that we was going to be in purgatory for 10 years. We are coming up upon that 10 years. We just had an opportunity and a chance to get rid of Embiid, but no. His contract would have been over, but now the new contract just kicked in 2 days ago. We'd have been done with Embiid, but now we cannot get. Listen, he's a Duke guy, right?
Yes.
He came in 2017. We took Markelle Fultz over Tatum, which is a Duke guy. So he didn't have any say so in that. And then we just got rid of Duke guy McCain, which we really needed during the playoffs. He's an outside shooter. He in OKC knocking everything down. And he had no say so in that. What good is Elton Brand?
Well, maybe. And just to your point, Adrian, he was not that high on the list, but nonetheless, he was on the list because maybe since he's been in an organization, he knows how to be innovative and get this thing going. Maybe he has some ideas, some fresh innovative ideas, where if he was given the opportunity to make those calls, that he could make a difference. Because, like you said, he is a Duke guy and he's a smart guy.
He was the GM for 1 year, and they brought in the Colangelos after that. We took Markelle Fultz. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you, Adam?
Listen, and you know,
he gave him a one-year deal, and he brought in Markelle Fultz.
Wait a minute. And again, I don't know. You were here when all that happened, so I defer to you on that.
Don't defer to Adrian.
But, Adrian, how do you know that that was his call? That was all his call? Because just like you said, they fired him after a year. So that, to me, doesn't sound like they had a whole lot of belief in him anyway. I mean, I hear what you're saying. It was just a name was on the list, and I just threw it out there. But I hear what you're saying. The pain is different when you've been in this thing for a while. I totally understand.
We have to clean house. We want Bob Myers in here, clean house. I like what McNurse has done. I think McNurse actually deserved another year because he got us past freaking Boston once. You know what I mean? So I will probably just give him a year, and if he do good under the new GM, then we'll probably keep him. If not, we get rid of him too. But you got to clean house. Elton Brand cannot be the GM.
Adrian, I generally agree with you on this. When Hugh said Elton Brand, it's a dull hire. It's dull. Like, if they hire Elton Brand, it's like, all right, cool, great guys. Thanks. Yeah. He's been here 10 years. Now you're elevating him through all the crap. It's dull.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But you're talking about, we also got to remember that we want to try to get this done as quickly as possible.
Well, no, I don't.
Is it a cut?
I don't think this has to be.
You don't think so? Because I look at it like this.
But if you rush into it, you make the wrong choice for the 22nd pick.
I think the most important thing to do in this situation is to get your team together to vet these young players.
Well, I think the one good thing is Bob Myers could steer this ship if this takes a while. I mean, like, there's not many people better at steering this ship now.
Yeah, but then you might get somebody in here that probably didn't feel that strongly about the pick that you made.
Well,
you
want somebody, but this pick isn't that big of a deal. It's a
22nd pick. Yeah. But it had.
Well, it could be a Maxey or a Jared McCain.
It could be.
Yeah, and it could be somebody that could come in and if you're lucky, can contribute right away.
Yeah, no, I just would feel differently if we had the fourth pick.
No, right?
That's a very important asset.
Yes.
Wouldn't
Harden
Brand feel like just promoting Kevin Petullo? I mean, we're not coming off the Super Bowl.
Damn.
But it's kind of like, this is what we're doing.
It would feel Petullo-ish.
Yeah, it would be a little Petullo-esque.
Yeah. And we saw how Petullo worked out. And we saw what you said about Petullo three games in.
We're rooting for him in Miami.
I am rooting for Petullo in Miami. Why not?
Yeah, he just need to let what happened in Philly go, though.
Well, we're going to get to him. He said something yesterday we got to talk about.
I mean, but you sometimes, man, when you get asked questions, man, even I do this, sometimes you just probably shouldn't answer them the way that you really want to answer.
You mean that, like, during the show or in real
sometimes
life?
Do I really want this smoke?
Well, his tenure here was largely a success, so.
It was an overwhelming success. Petullo's tenure with the Eagles?
Yeah, but ain't nobody trying to hear that here, man.
Well, I'm not talking about his coordinator here.
You say things nobody wants to hear every day?
No, I'm just saying. I drop dimes every day. What are you talking about? Like, I'm a point guard.
Yeah, yep.
Petullo's 5 years with the Eagles was an overwhelming success.
Of course it was.
But who would disagree with that?
A smashing success.
No,
what I'm saying is.
What do you mean?
Nobody remembers they remember your last performance.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I'm here to give context to all this.
And make people mad.
I'm not here to make people mad. I'm here to give context. The way you react to it's your decision.
Jason Kelce went out with a whimper in 23.
That playoff game against the Bucks, ugly.
It's okay.
You guys.
What?
It was.
I'm not arguing. That's
hold on. You went out with a whimper. You fought our wide receiver after a gap year in Jacksonville, buddy. Everyone calls in with nothing but adoration and respect for you.
All right. And that was a gap year. All right.
You should know better.
You really should. You should know better. After all you've been through. 215-592.
Me and Kevin Petullo on the same boat now. That is great.
You're lucky that we were
better, more successful Eagles center. Kevin Petullo, Hugh Douglas.
Well,
Petullo has a ring.
One guy won two NFC titles, and I got a ring. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Your phone calls on all this. The Sixers search for new executive. Maury, how you feeling today? Glass half full, half empty. And I think Kyle Schwarber is now the best home run hitter in Philly's history. To me, he's passed everyone in terms of prolific home run hitters. Your reaction to that? Elliot joins as well. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, everybody. Wawa has tacos. Wawa has expanded its freshly prepared food lineup with the launch of seasoned beef tacos, and they're available for a limited time. These cheesy beefy tacos feature warm tortillas filled with Wawa savory seasoned beef and fresh toppings. The new taco delivers a craveable handheld alternative to when you want to just, you know, grab some protein on the go, everybody. Get your tacos in your choice of seasoned beef or chicken, steak. You can get black beans, you can get shredded cheddar cheese, and up to two spreads. So far, I've gotten the garlic aioli, and I've gotten some barbecue. And I'm going to get this fresh salsa. Got some fresh salsa for the fresh topping. That tastes pretty good. And it's all packed in a 6-inch soft tortilla when you're on the go. So that means you can grab your tortillas, your 6-inch soft tortillas, you know, throw them in the bag and go on about your business. Wawa seasoned beef offering introduces a new way for you to enjoy bold flavor on the go, anchored by tacos as the hero. Seasoned beef is savory, juicy, saucy, not overly spicy. Bold seasoned beef is available on all platforms. You get them at a quesadilla. You can get some tacos, burritos, and bowls. But all of this for a limited time only. So check out Wawa's new seasoned beef tacos at your local Wawa today.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.